The candles have burnt out, drowned in pools of themselves. The fire is reduced to a heap of idling ashes. His mother is bent forward, her head on the pallet, asleep, a cloth gripped in her hand. And Judith is looking right at him.
Jude,
he says, or tries to say, because his voice doesn't seem to be working. It rasps, it prickles, it seems unable to get out of his dry and raw throat. He drops to his knees and crawls along the straw to reach her. Her eyes glitter with a strange, silvery light. She is worse. He can see this. Her cheeks are sunken, white, her lips cracked and bloodless, the swellings in her neck red and shining. He comes to crouch next to his twin, careful not to wake his mother. His hand finds hers, their fingers twined together. He sees Judith's eyes roll back in her head, once, twice. Then they open wide and slide towards him. It seems to take her a great deal of effort. Her lips curve upwards in what might be a smile. He feels a pressure on his fingers.
"Don't cry," she whispers.
He feels again the sensation he has had all his life, that she is the other side to him, that they fit together, him and her, like two halves of a walnut, that without her, he is incomplete, lost. He will carry an open wound down his side for the rest of his life, where she had been ripped from him. How can he live without her? He cannot. It is like asking the heart to live without the lungs, like tearing the moon out of the sky and asking the stars to do its work, like expecting the barley to grow without rain. Tears are appearing on her cheeks now, like silver seeds, as if by magic. He knows they are his, falling from his eyes onto her face, but they could just as easily be hers. They are one and the same.
"You shall be well,"
she murmurs. He grips her fingers in anger.
"I shall not."
He passes his tongue over his lips, tasting salt.
"I'll come with you. We'll go together."
Again, the flicker of a smile, the pressure of her fingers.
"Nay,"
she says, his tears glistening on her face.
"You shall stay."